Pick a few.
Pick a few and pick down.
You did. All right.
The title of this message is Hunger for God's Truth. Hunger for God's Truth. In the days when Jesus preached, no matter what I say, I get sidetracked and get off on something else, but I wanted, this morning, I looked up in my concordance. Concordance. And anyway, as close as I can see, in the book of Matthew alone, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man over 25 times. Yeah. Just in the book of Matthew. And I haven't looked closely in the rest of it. It could be even more so in the book of Luke. But in the days of Jesus, and he referred to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, as hypocrites constantly, and then he said that they were of their father, the devil. Not only the Jewish leaders, but others as well. And for the simple, there's a reason. And this is what eventually, people are already getting in trouble for this, but I will certainly be one of them, and you might be too, but one of the most dangerous places for people to be if they want to go to heaven is in church. And that goes over like a lead balloon, but that is the truth. And for the simple reason that they get indoctrinated into things that are private interpretations and false doctrines, and they can't escape. They can't get away from it. And so that's why it's dangerous, because you go to church and you learn the wrong things, and I'll use a name. But anyway, no, I'm not gonna. Somebody met a girl, some young fellow met a girl, and made the statement, and he said, well, she has no religious background. And her mother in wisdom said, that's the best kind. And you know what? It is. I was talking to Clayton yesterday, and my brother Clayton, and my cousin Alan, his name is Alan Peasley, and anyway, he's never been married, and he's over 70. I'm not sure exactly how old. And his dad was healed one time, and as he was listening to Oral Roberts on the radio or on TV, and Oral Roberts, he had a problem, and I can't remember what it was, something in his stomach. And Oral Roberts said, if you want to be healed, now Tom never went to church, very, very seldom. If you want to be healed, he says, lay your hands on the television set, and I'll pray for you. And so he did, and he was immediately healed, and had a real experience. Well, anyway, his son Alan, a couple years ago, he was watching somebody, one of the shows, Betty Hinn or something, I don't know what it was, but he did the same thing, and he was healed. And Clayton said he went up, and he don't go to church, but he reads his Bible. He says, I could talk freely to him about things of the Lord in the Bible, and he says, you can't do it to most churchgoers. You know what I mean? Because they're already opinionated, indoctrinated, and whatever else. And so I said that, as we were talking, I said that, there's the highways and the byways. That's the highways and the byways. And Clayton's going to go in tomorrow morning to have his other knee replaced. But I love the relationship that we're starting to have. There's a door opening up. God's hunger, or hunger for God's truth. And, well, anyway, years ago I heard a pastor, and he made a statement, and he said, it's a good feeling to know that you have the truth. And for his information, any church leader from any church organization would probably make the same claim. You know, it's a good thing to know you have the truth. I mean, if they're not, they don't have the truth, then what are they doing? I mean, they're sure they have the truth. See? And that's maybe why Jesus said in John 17:17, as he was praying, he said, sanctify them through your truth. And see, that's the difference. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And like the pastor that I mentioned, something within all people wants to claim that they have all the truth. I mean, a community chapel was no exception. Us being a part of a community chapel, we were no exception. And so, as such, no one would want to spend a lifetime pursuing something that is not true. You know, I mean, I don't think so. And so great church organizations that differ in doctrine from other great church organizations, each is sure that they have the truth. However, in order to have unity, since they know that others disagree with them, they disregard the truth, the value of truth, or ignore the scriptures. See, from the scriptures, sanctification is limited to the truth as God calls it. Sanctify them through your truth. And we are told to let God be true, though every man is a liar. And so, would that then suggest that if anyone disagrees with God, that God considers that man to be a liar? See, being the Creator who brought about everything that exists, I think that God has a right to do whatsoever He wants. I mean, that's kind of a positive statement here. Even though Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth, we can tell by his question that he actually wanted to know himself. It was like, you know, I don't know, what is truth? Or, what is the way that it could be known what truth is? And even though Jesus never gave him an answer that satisfied his question, he could have never understood the right answer anyway, even if he heard it. See, we have to begin with a concrete belief in God to ever understand what Jesus could have said. And Pilate obviously had a fear of God. I mean, if there really is a God, he had a fear because, when he talked to Jesus, he was fearful, it says. And so if Jesus would have told the truth, and that truth is exactly what God says, that truth is exactly what God says truth is, then Pilate would have had a lot more hard questions to ask, you know. See, the idea that God is over all things and is the author of all truth is not really an acceptable answer to the natural man, and that's what Pilate was. Pilate was a natural man. So it was a hard... See, Pilate was looking for an answer that made sense to him. And God being the truth answer would never have satisfied his natural curiosity. And so what really is truth? And again, I got this answer to that a few years ago, but this doesn't satisfy everybody that asked it. Truth is what God actually meant by what he said within his eternal word. You want to know what truth is? It's what God meant. Unfortunately, man can't answer the question. And Jesus knew that no matter what he said, Pilate wouldn't answer, he wouldn't get it anyway. Because it requires, the only one that has the answer to truth is God. And the only way we can ever get that answer is through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come through men. Man can't come up with an answer to truth. Jesus said that he was the manna that came down from heaven. He also said that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we are told that the word was made flesh, and since he then became the divine nature of God, the divine nature of God's word, was he not then the word that came down from heaven, or from God, and the divine manna substance from God? As such, I'm not trying to suggest that I understand all of this, and in fact, we may spend an eternity hearing God fit all of these pieces together. When Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I might know him, speaking of Christ, it appears from verse 11 that the true knowledge of Christ is necessary in order to attain to the resurrection of the dead. See, that's in verse 10, but from verse 11, and I'm not exactly sure what it says there, but it appears from verse 11 that the true knowledge of Christ is necessary in order to attain to the resurrection of the dead. And so by the invisible guidance of the Holy Spirit, and this is what makes it hard for people to listen and to hear the Spirit. It says, to each of the seven churches in Revelation, he that has an ear. And it's not, I mean, everybody has at least one ear, or most people do. And that he that has an ear, and it has to mean an ear that can hear the Spirit, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And churches, plural. And so, by the invisible guidance of the Holy Spirit, but how many people can hear the Spirit because they want man to lead them? That scripture was, somebody quoted it just last Sunday, but it says you have not need that any man should teach you, and you all will be taught by the Lord. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is God's extension. That's God's Spirit, and so the invisible guidance of the Holy Spirit, as he guides men through the spiritual revelations of God's Word, men are slowly brought into Christ-likeness until they actually develop the mind of Christ, which causes them to approach God in the same way that Christ did. We have that privilege. We have that responsibility. We have whatever. In Philippians 2:5, it says, let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And then in verse 7, who made himself of no reputation. In verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And in verse 9, it says that God has highly exalted him. Now, I've left out a few sentences, but this is the fundamental things that are mentioned in here. God has highly exalted him. See, unbeknownst to all but a few, there is only one foundation or standard for truth. And so when men like Pilate asked the question, what is truth, they don't have the mental capacity to understand the answer, even if they heard it, that the one who knew could give them. See, Jesus knew, but he couldn't understand it. A lot of things that Jesus never answered. He made a statement and somebody asked him a question, you don't get an answer. And I've wondered about it until now. Now I'm starting to understand. Why give an answer to you if you can't understand it anyway? You're better to be left without an answer that's just going to put you under more condemnation. See, Jesus not only knew what truth was and is, but he was also the one who held all truth in his hands. And so how could Pilate even have a clue as to the foolishness of the question that he was asking? He didn't have a clue. And as such, no right answer by Jesus could have been understood by Pilate anyway. And also today's churches could never relate to what truth is either. And the fact that so many accept and promote the unity through diversity thought pattern tells me that truth, and especially the all-truth element of John 16:13, is as big of a mystery to today's church as most of the other issues that they also flounder with. As men stumble at the cornerstone, it says, because they read God's word out of focus. That was a thought pattern that came to me. I mean, they stumble because they read out of focus. Just like I do sometimes with the glasses that I've had. So the truth issue is a great area of confusion. Truth is an area of confusion to the church, to the point that, you know, it's like, well, they say they have the truth, we say we have the truth. Who has the truth? It's somebody that used to be in this church was upset because I was concentrating on truth. And the questions they had was, well, what about the brethren? What about the brethren? By brethren meaning, what about those that have different doctrines that are our brothers and sisters? Do we want to offend them? And my answer to that is the same as I gave back at that time. I said, Jesus didn't seem to have a problem offended. He said, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. So he came, and in John 1:11 it says, he came to his own and they received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave he the power to become the sons of God. Well, you don't get the power from God by, you know, letting the devil steal the truth from you. So as men stumble at the cornerstone because they read God's word out of focus, it says they stumble, as they stumble at the word, it says. And so, since only a few find it, and only a few that are chosen, then that tells us that most people are either natural or carnal-minded in their approach to the things of God. We think because people go to church, and we have so many churches, whatever else, we have a lot of good, you know, good things going on, but we don't. The people are are hearing things that are, you know, that are wrong. As I have read the Word of God, it has become pretty clear to me that truth is an issue to God. I just keep saying this over and over and over until we start understanding what. And as such, God's will is for all men to hunger and thirst for truth. Or as it says in 2 Timothy 2:4, that it is God's will for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. And then in verse 5, it gives us probably the greatest area of truth that we have ever come into. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The true identity of the Father and of the Son gives men the proper foundation for man's relationship with them. Gotta chase that frog down. Jeff gave Shelley an early birthday card and wrote this in it. The Holy Spirit is beginning to reveal things to us about the makeup of the Creator, which causes the distance to become greater and greater between the greatness of God and man's ability to understand it. And my thoughts are, these little areas of truth that Jeff keeps expressing are Holy Spirit anointed comments that show us what God is doing in Jeff and in the rest of us. We are told that God's ways are past finding out, which also then tells us that God is beyond man's comprehension. We can't understand God. God is worthy of all and any worship and any praise that we are able to give Him. And the truth is that we are not able to worship God to the extent that He deserves. And as such, He gave to those who would receive it the gift of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues as a way of expressing worship towards Himself in realms of the Spirit, so that men are able to worship in spirit and in truth, such as God desires to be worshipped. You know what? That is a mystery. It's such a mystery that even though we have been listening to the Scriptures, I have been listening day and night for almost 18 years, or somewhere in there, I'm just now beginning to get a little bit of an understanding of what this is. In Romans 8:26, we are told that we know not what we should worship or pray for as we ought, and which then also lets us know that we likewise don't know how to praise God as we should. I mean, what's the difference here? Or how God desires to be praised. And so in John 4:23, see, God's will is men should receive a love for the truth in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And if men don't, then their salvation will be in jeopardy, in peril, because they received not a love for the truth that they might be saved. That's just sandwiched in there, and you don't see it unless you start listening to the Scriptures and you get to that place. I am so glad that God has opened up some of these things so we get a look at it. And somebody mentioned last Sunday the fact that the Scriptures are not nice to us. You know what I mean? At first, we start reading them and they're convicting. And if you're going to do what the Bible says, you got to make changes. You know, you got to take a different look at yourself and things. And the thing is, the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it cuts. And when I started reading it, I wasn't happy, but I knew I had to do it. But I wasn't happy about some of the things I ran into, because it meant I had to do some changes. Or I had to let God make some changes in me. However, it happens. See, God considers truth an issue. I said it a couple times, but I'll say it lots of more times. See, a love for God's truth and a hunger for God's truth are sort of one and the same. And either the hunger or the love is what God is looking for. And if we look at some of these Scriptures, see, blessed is the man who delights in the Word of God and meditates on it day and night. Well, that means he has to have a hunger for it and a love for it in order to do that. You're not going to do it unless you do. So the amount of truth that is available, and that's where we get caught in things like the Holy Spirit, or He's going to lead and He's going to guide men into all truth. Well, here's the truth. The amount of truth that is available is more than all men together are able to contain. So when we are told that the Spirit will guide us into all truth, it has to mean that all that any individual can relate to or can is able to contain. Plus, the all truth also has to mean the amount that God knows that someone needs or is able to handle. So if I'm going to be guided into all truth, it has to be by God's direction, because I don't know how much all truth. How would I know? Peter was freshly filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was to bring, when He came, He was to guide us into all truth. So He's freshly filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And therefore, the message that He preached was one of the most anointed messages of truth that is possible. It's just fresh message. And yet, the baptism formula that came through him is ignored by most churchgoers, as well as the way that men are to receive the Holy Spirit, and as well as the ongoing need to repent, and as well as the thing where Peter says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And Peter admonished, okay, those that got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit to save themselves. Well, if you read or hear God's word and recognize it as truth from God, then today's church status is as untoward the truth as any generation that has ever existed. The church is untoward the things of God. They're untoward. Backwards. When the voice told me that I had to look for God where He is, I was almost immediately made to know that the place that we don't look is in the church. That's where you don't look. And today's divided church system, which is the same as Jude 19, which is separated because they don't have the Spirit. As I turn more and more towards and into God's Word, the contrast between today's churches and the words of God became like night and day. There's a great contrast between what people teach and what the Word of God has to say. And I wonder how churches can be founded from the Word of God and preach what they preach. Jesus, who was both born and sent to express God's words and truth, was made aware of what the religious leaders, who should have known better, had done to the purity of God's word. They had allowed the devil to change it and thereby remove the Hebrews 4:12 power from it, which is, you know, the sharper than a two-edged sword effect that it has on people. But it says the word of God is powerful. And so what happens is they had made it of no effect, they said. However, and like millions today who have allowed the devil to interpret God's word for them, and that is what it is. The devil has been their interpreter. They were so deceived and so comfortable in their deceptions, so that when Jesus, who Moses prophesied about, came with the direct words of truth from God for them, they received him not. In John 1:11, in verse 12, but to as many as do receive God through Christ, to them God will give the power to become the sons of God. And how is that? By receiving the Holy Spirit and letting him teach them, letting him lead them. To as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. To those who believe in Christ's name, that power is the power of the Holy Spirit revealed and empowered truth. And so Christ, working with and through men, caused the confirmation of God's word to take place in the book of Acts, and as such, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, weaknesses within today's churches is their disregard for the truth, therefore the word of God. You know, when I had that, or when Quila had that vision and saw me with a sword cutting people, and people were bleeding, and I don't know what all took place, I didn't relate it to the word of God. But in the vision, people were upset. They were upset. And there are still people that are upset. Why do we have to keep harping on truth and the word of God? We're going to divide the churches. And you know, that scripture, the one that we have right in the front of the pulpit here, which is out of the 11th chapter of Luke, there's one in the 8th chapter of Luke, where it says that Jesus' mother and brethren came to see him, And they told him, they said, your mother and brethren are out here. And he says, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And you know, that is a major, major statement. My mother and my brethren, if those are Jesus's, aren't they supposed to be ours? My mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it, or keep it. So anyway, his disregard for the truth. Most churchgoers love to proclaim that they are right, but to have a love for or a hunger for God's truth is not really a consideration. It's not really a consideration. And through Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, God shows us a people who will perish because they refuse to receive a love for the truth. And as I have read and heard the Word of God, I have been made to realize that there are a lot more churchgoers without a vision for truth than those who do have a vision. In Amos 8:11, God told all men that He was going to send a famine for the hearing of God's Word. And yet, the Word of God, and especially today, is available to be heard by millions. However, I think that the big key to this mystery is proclaimed to each of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. The evidence that someone has a love for God's Word and a hunger for it is when they actually have an ear, at least one, that is willing to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and not what men are saying. However, this is requires something to happen within men that is required by God, but easily misunderstood by men. God requires something. It is called faith. See, faith walks the talk rather than just lots of talk. Faith walks. You know, that's what James says. You say we have faith, but you don't do anything. That's not faith. And as such, a lot of people read and hear God's Word, but never actually ever hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. It is called seeing the letters, but missing the Spirit. You see the letter, you know, and there's a lot of letter people. We are told that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Well, we, unfortunately, have a lot of letter Christians who try to serve God by the legalistic letter of God's Word, which involves using their natural senses to try and understand the will and the purposes of God, who is Spirit, whose ways are not even understood with the natural mind. The natural mind can't understand God's ways. And so to bridge the impossible gap between the natural mind and the true relationship with God, that's an impossible gap between the natural mind and a relationship with God, God has created a substance called faith that seems foolish to the wise and the prudent, but it allows the babes and the sucklings access to the truth that sets them free and puts the wise and the prudent out of the picture. God hides these things from the wise and the prudent and reveals them to babes and sucklings. And Romans 10:17 tells us that it's something that sort of bypasses the letter-minded churchgoers, and by the grace of God makes sense to the hungry and the thirsty, that faith comes by the intake of God's words of truth. And see, that's another thing. Faith, they say, well, faith comes by the hearing of God's word. But you know what? That's not really a right way to understand it. Right? Faith comes by hearing God's words of truth. It's got to be hearing God's word in truth. God's word is truth, but we got to hear it in truth, which means it's got to be brought to us through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we still won't gain faith. I don't know if I made that straight or not, but according to Hebrews 11:3, we are told that through faith we understand. And you know what? It took me a while to understand that through faith we understand. I'm starting to get it. And in Daniel 11:33, it tells us that the key to us, that they that understand will instruct many. And you know what? Today, if there's ever been a time when they that understand can instruct many, it's today. We have a media system set up. We have the television, whatever else. And when God gets a people that really understand, I think the world's going to see them. There'll be a lot of people that won't like to see them, but I think a lot of people are going to see them. And they'll turn the TV cameras on people that are outcast by the church and have the truth. And there'll be all kinds of people out there listening to say, hey, that makes sense to me. I got it. You know? They're hearing the truth, and there's a lot of people out there saying that those people are nuts. It's kind of like what happened on the day of Pentecost. Here they are speaking in tongues, and there's people watching and say, well, these guys are drunk. You know? Well, that's what they'll say about the truth people. When we put all things together, with the fact that Psalms 1 tells us that God blesses those who delight in His Word, and those that there and keep it in their systems day and night, the constant intake of God's Word is increasing within us with unfolding revelations of eternal truth nature that changes all of us on a daily basis. I am being changed on a daily basis. The kingdom supposedly comes without observation. And yet, I think the real people of God become aware of something that is happening, and so maybe it is not a surprise to them. God created man in His own image. That's what it says. And which I believe was fulfilled only in Christ. I don't think it was ever fulfilled except in Christ to the full extent. I think Christ was the fulfillment of that thing. That Christ was the image of God. The expressed image. Which is to be fulfilled in those who develop the mind and the soul of Christ. I don't think that the church or that people have ever reached that unless they were in Christ. When they are in Christ, then they become the image. God is perfect in all of His ways. And God created man perfect. But he was vulnerable and weak, and therefore lost his state of perfection when the devil got Adam and Eve to sin by disobeying the perfect word of God. What is disobedience? Disobeying the perfect word of God. So when we don't seek after truth, if we're running off after something that's not truth, is that disobedience? That's sin. The only way you can't sin, or you don't sin, is when you're doing it God's way. God considers His words to us through men as perfect and wants us to hunger for His words continually. And according to Psalms 1, God will greatly bless those who do. And in Psalms 19:7, He tells us that God's word will convert men's souls, and which is the only thing that can. And you know what? That is what is happening to us. Why do you guys want to hear God's word all the time? Because we understand that it converts us by itself. The Holy Spirit working with that word will change us from the inside out until we become different. In Philippians 3:3, we are told to not put any confidence in the flesh. And I know why. All men are subject to the weakness of their flesh. All men. I'd like to say I wasn't, but I am. And therefore, the devil's deceptions, we are also subject to those. And therefore, what 99% of what all men think could easily be influenced by demonic input. Well, we have all these books in our library by all these wonderful Christian men. Oh, yeah. Well, we finally got rid of all of ours. And so, for the simple reason that there's something wrong with, you know, there isn't such a thing as a Trinity. But you know what? I read this book by Dave Wilkerson on the Cross and Switchblade. He's an Assembly of God minister. He's dead now. But anyway, it had such an impact on me that it really had a lot to do with my salvation. You know what? One time was enough. I read it a couple times, but one time's enough. Do you know why? Because in it, the doctrine of the Trinity is promoted. So man may have a testimony can have an impact, but if you believe anybody other than the Word of God, and if they're not using the Word of God, the Word of God is God's truth. Well, the books of men are casino gambles. How'd you like that? The books of men are casino gambles. I tell you what, I've never gambled in a casino. And I don't plan on it. I'm not finding fault with those that do. I'm just saying I never have. And so I'm saying that God blesses those who trust His Word and take it into their systems day and night. God blesses them. And why? Because those are the ones that will become like Christ, who was and is God's Word expressed. And therefore, they will become partakers of God's very divine nature. And so what a promise. The creation given the privilege of partaking in the very nature of the one that created them. I don't know if anybody has considered this, but I sat the other day and I thought, partakers of God's divine nature? We are His creation. And the Creator had made it possible for us to become partakers of His divine nature. Is it any wonder that He insists on truth? Is it any wonder that He insists on doing it His way? What do I have to say about it? What can I do to change anything? Nothing. We have the divine privilege of partaking in the very nature of the One that created us. Remember the story of Pinocchio? He was never given any privilege like that. And so God is calling men into His eternal kingdom, looking for those who will set aside this temporal dwelling place that has an end and hunger and thirst for an eternal homeland made without hands, without the sorrows and the heartbreaks of this present life. God's looking for that people. The promises of the next life are so phenomenal, so that to not seek after the next life with all that we have and are would be unthinkable. It's unthinkable to not want the next life and forsake this one. As such, many people want truth. The problem is, whether it is God's truth or not, it seems to be insignificant to a lot of people. I just want the truth. You want God's truth? Well, I don't care, just so I get the truth. You know what I mean? I'm not there no more. I want the truth. I want God's truth. And I'm not claiming to have it. I want it. I want to go after it. I want to sell all that I have, whatever I possess, and buy the pearl. Unbeknownst to millions is that only God's truth is real truth. enter what? And what did God actually mean? I can't read my own writing. What did God actually mean by what he said through the prophets and Christ? That's what truth is. What did God actually mean when he spoke through the prophets and Christ? And so great faith comes by hearing truth. And the fact that God's word is the substance of all truth takes time to register within us. And so consideration or continuation in the hearing of God's word is the key to receiving all truth, since real truth is only known by God. You know, we are going to get to the place. And I had a couple of dreams. One dream in specific, where the church had all kinds of people in here, and as I looked at it, it reminded me of little birds in a nest with their mouths open. And they were sitting here, and we'd come in. Maybe it was Ken and I. We'd come up to the front, and they were waiting for us to come. And after they wore us out, we'd leave to go home and get some rest. Two more would come in. Maybe it would be Corky and Charlie. You know what I mean? The ones that have begun to understand, they would come in, and people would ask questions, and they asked questions. I mean, they weren't trying to find fault. They wanted answers. And you know what they got? They got answers out of here. Because we had come to the place that we knew what the Bible said. And that was, you know, the dream ended there, but they weren't sitting there angry and upset and wanting to find fault. They wanted to know, what does the Bible say? And of course, out of it came some of the things that are happening to some of the people around us. Anyways, God bless you.